If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 20 today. So if you look there, and then also in the book of 1 Timothy. I want to start with this idea, something that we all, every single one of us today, have in common, even as we look at this topic of honor. And it's this simple truth. Everybody comes from somewhere. Give you three guesses who the person on the photos and the first two don't count. Okay, yeah, so I think I was about five in that photo, something like that. Everybody comes from somewhere. I grew up in Nelson, B.C., and if we go to the next slide, I want to show you a little bit of my extended family. So next to the dog, that's me. I got my dad, Chris, my mom, Elaine, my brother in the red, Eric, who's 2 years younger than me. He'll be here next weekend, so just buckle your seatbelts. He's a force of nature. He's a lot of fun. And then the two folks on the right are my dad's parents, Gladys and Frank Thompson. They live in, when they were alive, lived in England. And so, long story short, my dad grew up in England and was an exchange student at the University of Washington in silviculture. Bonus points if you know what silviculture is. Yeah, I didn't know either. But it's a tree scientist. So growing up, I used to say, my daddy counts trees. So he came to University of Washington to learn how to count trees to get his master's degree in tree counting. And he met my mother there, and they fell in love. And because England doesn't actually have very many forests anymore, as he was graduating and they were looking for a place to settle, they ended up in British Columbia, where he worked for the Provincial Forest Service as a silviculturalist his entire professional career. But it also meant that he was distant from his family. And so every couple of years, I get to see my grandparents. Sometimes we would go over to England. I've been there about three times. And sometimes they would come over to Nelson, B.C., and we'd get some time together. One of the greatest regrets of my life is that because of that distance, not in their case, not really because of choice, but because of distance, I didn't actually know my grandparents very well. Saw them total of maybe about 10 times in my life. And should we go over to the back last slide for a second? Just back up one. So when my grandpa Frank passed away in his early 60s, I was only about 13 years old. And so I don't actually have a lot of real active memory of him. But family is kind of like that. You know, you've got people in your life, and sometimes you have really vivid memories, and sometimes you don't. I imagine for many of us here, as we kind of talk about family, it's one of those things that is both a source of some joy and also a source of, for most people, of some pain, some regrets around family. Whether that's people that you didn't get to know very well, or people that you got to know too well, and you discovered this isn't actually the legacy I want to live in my life. And it makes some of these conversations of honor a little more difficult. Next slide, please. So on my mom's side are two folks. My grandpa Ira is on the left. I'm not sure how old he was when this picture was taken. He served in the U.S. Army, and he was somebody that studies blood work? Yeah, exactly. So he basically was a lab tech doing lots of blood work and that kind of thing. Found out actually, and the last time I saw him, that in his service with the U.S. Army, he was part of the second wave in Normandy. So not the very first, but there to as part of the medical crew to do a lot of the cleanup work. And the funny thing is, he had never told that story. I mean, even his own children hadn't heard it at that point. Sometimes when we think of our veterans, some of them carry some really really dark secrets from some really painful times that they've been trying to shelter the people they love from them, even though those same dark secrets have affected a lot of how they lived. One of the greatest regrets of my life from this side, too, is that in some cases, because of distance, I mean, my maternal grandparents ended up settling in the Phoenix area, and in some cases, just because of choice. I didn't see them very much. Again, maybe about 10 times in my life until my grandmother, who you see on the right, and you see right there, Esther, until she moved across the street after Ira passed away about 3 years ago. We chose to move her to Columbia Heights just across the street so she could get good care and so that we could be involved in her life. You know, because one of the things that comes out of that regret of really not knowing my grandparents, I mean, I've spent more time with her in the last, you know, 2 years than I have at any other point in my life, all told, many times multiplied over, is I want my kids, I want our kids, to know where they come from. Because everybody comes from somewhere. This was actually a picture from her high school graduation, where if you ask her, she'll tell you that she was a valedictorian of her class. So it's one of her precious memories, one of the things she remembers best. Isn't that right, Grandma? She's like, yeah. And though for her, many of her memories have faded, that's one that she still holds to very dearly. So ask her about that. Ask her about being valedictorian with her class. When you hear the word honor, what do you think of? What does honor mean? Maybe take up just a moment, and if you're sitting next to somebody, tell them the first kind of description or the definition that comes to mind when you hear the word honor. What's it mean to honor someone? To respect, okay? Just take a moment and talk. You've got opinions. Share them. I think honor is one of those words that's gotten a little complicated. It feels like an old word and a really archaic sentiment sometimes. Because we live in a culture that I think, I'm just going to, you know, lay this out and you can disagree with me if you like. I think we have a hard time remembering what it means to honor. I mean, think of the way that for the most part, for example, the elderly are portrayed in entertainment. We get all excited when we see old people being really grumpy or really raunchy or acting like children. We get all excited. But very rarely, though it does sometimes happen in entertainment, we actually see people of some age portrayed with respect. I mean, what does it mean to hold the hand of somebody that you have spent 60 or 70 or sometimes even more years of your life with? Or how scary is it to know that your physical capacities are fading and some of the things that you used to do and enjoy, you can't do them anymore, or it's harder to do them, or it hurts more when you do them? Or for those whose part of their aging process is also that their memory fades. To know that some of the very memories that have defined you are starting to slip away. People aren't stupid. They know what's going on. So we sometimes have a hard time getting our heads around, you know, what is this experience of aging and what does it mean to honor those who have gone before us, to honor our fathers and our mothers and our grandparents? Or part of the reason why I told you even some of my own family backstory is, what does it mean to honor when you actually carry some regrets? I mean, is honor only something that can be earned? Do we only honor people who we say, oh, they have without question been honorable? Is that the only people that we honor? What does it mean to honor? I want to think about that. You know, or even some of the ways, I'm just going to poke around a little bit so you can get mad at me before we take this a little bit further, you know? Of just think about how we talk about the leaders of our nation. Seems like whoever's in power, we love to poke fun at our politicians. And sometimes it can be well argued they do not behave in an honorable way. But can we still honor? Can we still respect? Because it seems like whoever's in power, if our core political persuasion is different than the one that's in power, in our culture sometimes, they have a hard time saying, I disagree, or, you know, I've got concerns about that policy. Rather, we actually lampoon and make fun of and look to tear down those of a different political slant. Is that honor? Is honor only something that people can earn, or is it something that comes from somewhere else? Yeah. So I want us to take a look at the commandment that talks first about honor. So open up your Bibles with me. Exodus chapter 20. So at this point in the story, the nation of Israel is being formed. And so God has given his promise to Abraham, and he said that your descendants would be like the stars of the sky, that many nations would be formed because of you, and the whole world would be blessed because of you. And God has been faithful to his promise, and Abraham's family has grown to now a group of about 1 million people. And they have been in the nation of Egypt in slavery, and thanks to Moses and God's miracle work, the let my people go, the people have finally been freed, and they have now crossed the Red Sea, and they're in the desert, and they're experiencing some real trouble here, because of course it stinks to be nomadic, it stinks to not have a home, and you know, they've got food issues, they've got water issues, everything feels precarious and scary. And as part of forming this people, it's not just a family but a nation, God gives instruction through Moses. And that's where Exodus chapter 20, commonly called the Ten Commandments, comes in. So let's just take a look. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord, what's the word? Your God. Isn't that interesting? The first thing that God says, even before he starts laying out the rules, I am the Lord, your God. I'm not just, I am the great and almighty God. I am the Lord, your God. God gets personal really fast. Who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery? So before any instruction is given, he says, remember that I'm your God, and remember what I've just done for you. Now realize, this is a few months has passed since they've had all this Red Sea stuff, and now they're dealing with things like there's water shortages, there's food shortages, they're very nervous. Isn't that funny how we just get so wrapped up around the challenge of the day? I mean, have you anybody here had a stressful week? I sure have. I mean, stuff just happens, and your mind gets all focused in on the need of the moment, and we forget sometimes what God has done. We forget the big picture of how God has provided, how God has shown himself to be faithful and true. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, the land of slavery. And then he gets down to some instruction. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth below or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. So the first commandment, the first two, have everything to do with worship. Showing God honor through worship. And though this, you know, the passage about the punishing the children thing, does that seem harsh to you? Yeah, like seems really harsh to me. Except for we remember how it's true. Like, you know, if you've got, if you've got a great-grandfather who is an alcoholic and a grandfather who is an alcoholic and a dad who is an alcoholic, well, guess what train is coming down the tracks in your direction? Now, that's not to provide us with excuse. Well, I have no choice. Of course we have choice. But sometimes there is a legacy that works against us. It's just plain true that the sins of the parent get passed down to the kids. My dysfunction becomes my kids. I just think of, we've got two girls, and I just think, God, help me not to screw them up, because you know they just seem wonderful, and I don't want all my failings to wreck them. But there's also the other side of it too. But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Because some of us, you know, we come from a legacy of faith. And there's an anchor in your soul of sorts that says, we know that God is for us. And God can help. And we're going to make it through. Some of us have received that kind of a legacy of faith. Or I love it when I get to counsel couples prior to marriage, and how often even the conversation of, so tell me about your parents' marriage and your grandparents' marriage. How often things like that, when that marriage is good, when they've found a way to make it through the hard times, how that's a legacy that can build resiliency and faith into the kids. Have you seen that? So it sounds harsh, but it's true. It starts with worship. Honor me in worship, God says. Then verse 7, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. In other words, watch how you talk. Watch how you speak of things that are sacred and holy. Honor me with your words. Then verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor daughter, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor God with your time. Don't work all the time. You weren't made to work, 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 work. You were made to work, 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 rest. And not just you, but the people around you. If you've got employees, you treat them right. You give them some time off. You treat immigrants well. That's the foreigners living in your land. It's not work, 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 work. It's work, 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 work. Rest. Work, 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 work. Rest is an important part of life. Honor me with your time. At least one day a week. At least one day a week, you take a day where you say, God, I am no longer in control of my business. I'm no longer in control of my career. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to trust you with it. I'm going to trust you and take a break. I'm going to disconnect so I can reconnect with you. Honor me with your time. And then it gets to this command, to the fifth command, verse 12. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord is giving you. Isn't it interesting how the background of honor is, remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Remember that you belong to me, God says. Honor me with worship. Honor me with your words. Honor me with your time. And then honor each other. After that, the commandments get kind of short. It's like it's sort of spelling out what it means to honor your father and mother. If you're really honoring each other, here's some things you're not going to do. You shall not murder. Murdering is not honoring, right? You shall not commit adultery. Cheating on people is not honoring. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male or female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The foundation of honor is rooted in our relationship with God. We honor one another. We honor those who go before us because we serve a God who has been faithful to us and wants us to honor him with our whole lives. Honor, it seems, is not just earned, though I'm grateful for the times that it is earned. Honor is also given. And so throughout the scriptures, we see these principles getting applied. Turn with me for a moment to 1 Timothy chapter 5. So here, many years later, the Apostle Paul is talking to his mentor Timothy as he's looking to pastor this church in Ephesus. And just like every congregation, they're going through tough times and they're trying to figure out how do we care for people well and how do we allocate resources so people are treated fairly and appropriately and all these different kind of things. And so Paul starts talking to Timothy about what it means to honor. We get to chapter 5 and we're going to read the first 8 verses. It says, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your, what's the word? Father. So you honor me, you honor your parents. Honor is a subset of love. This thing that says, I will do what is best for you. Honor doesn't always depend on having warm, fuzzy feelings about a person. Honor is an action, just like love is an action. Love is, I will do what is best for you. Now, honor comes with it some respect. It comes with making certain the person has voice. So sometimes there's something you may want to do for somebody that they don't want you to do for them, and part of honor is to say, I will not force that on you. I will respect your independence. I will respect your decision. I won't try to control you, even if I think I know what's best for you. I will honor you. To the best of my ability, I will do what is best for you. So don't rebuke an older man harshly. Exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, they should learn first to put their religion into practice by caring for their own parents and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues day and night to pray and ask God for help. But the widow who lived for pleasure is dead even while she lives. So give these people these instructions so no one is open to blame. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Again, that sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? Sounds kind of harsh. But hear how it's rooted in honor. We remember who we are. We remember where we come from. We remember what God has done for us. And so we look to honor one another, especially our parents and our grandparents, based on that. So just a couple of questions to roll around. So we look to how do we honor our father and mothers? Who do you honor today? Who are the people in your life that God has called you to honor? They may be your biological parents, or biological grandparents. But remember, in the family of faith, that family lines can sometimes involve those who have been spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. Who do you honor today? And how do you honor? And as we close in prayer, I just invite you to name that person before God. God, I thank you for, and then maybe under your breath, or if you're really bold, you name it out loud. And then say, Lord, what's something that I can do that can show honor to that person? Lord, what's something I can do that can show honor to that person? And just see what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Okay? You with me? Nod your heads. You good? Okay, good, good. All right. Still awake. Awesome. It's good. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've called us to be your children. Thank you for what you have done for us, for the legacy of faith that we inherit from those who have gone before us in the scriptures and those who have gone before us in our own lives. And we thank you especially for the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, the one who purchased our salvation and freedom from his death, from his resurrection. Lord, thank you that we belong to you and that you have loved us. And so, Lord, as we look to love the people around us and give honor to those who have gone before us, Lord, we especially remember before you these people. So friends, let's just name before the Lord somebody who's on your heart. Who do you honor? Just name them before God right now. Esther, Ira, Chris, Berlin. So Lord, we thank you for everything that is good about those we have named, for all the ways that they have earned honor. But Lord, thank you that our ability to honor them is not limited to what we feel they have earned. Thank you, God, for the gift that those that we have named are. Lord, help us to love well. And so, God, even now, we want to still our hearts before you and ask you to speak to us about how we can honor. Lord, speak to us as we listen. So Lord, help us to remember well. Lord, help us to honor. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.